Morning. There is no perfect church. I wonder if you've heard that statement before. Often if someone is looking for a church that they want to join, they may be talking to you about the pros and cons of different churches that they've been to. And you'll say to them, yeah, but remember, there is no perfect church out there. They all have certain elements that you're going to have to weigh the pros and cons about. And you may have heard that statement go a little further, where we actually finish it by saying, and if you find the perfect church, you'll ruin it by joining it. It's a little bit harsh, but the point is that we're not perfect. The church is made up of non-perfect people, so that as soon as you enter into it, it's no longer perfect. Despite that statement, the longer I am in this church, the more I think I have found the perfect church. And it's this one, by the way. It's not another one I go to in the evenings. It's this one. We had a meeting at work this week where it was announced to us that our company was being bought out by a multinational company. We're quite a small company in Cirencester, so we were being bought out by a company that has branches in 44 countries around the world, so this was quite big news for us and quite exciting. And the conversation with my colleagues quickly turned to maybe there's opportunity to go to one of these countries. Los Angeles headquarters came up quite often in the conversation. That's where people were going, yes, I will go there, send me, I don't mind, whatever meeting, I'm on it. And when I was talking to them about it, I said, I really wouldn't want to relocate anywhere, to be honest. They were like, what? Come on, think about it. The beach, the sun. I was like, no, no, it doesn't. What if they double your salary? I was like, no, I really don't like the idea of it. A triple, would I? And I was like, no. I was like, to be honest, my church is the problem. My church is in Gloucester, and I wouldn't want to leave it. And they were like, there's churches in other countries. What are you talking about? And I didn't bother to try and explain because they wouldn't have understood. But essentially, this church is in Gloucester. It's not in any other country. So there's no point me going anywhere else. I did conclude ultimately that if they offered to multiply my salary by 20, I would go, because effectively I could work for 2 years and then retire for the rest of my life. And that, you know, I love you, but not that much. So that is just an example to say that I do genuinely think this is the perfect church. And the reason I think this is the perfect church is not because I think we have it all together and perfectly every I dotted and T crossed. I know those things, and I know we would love to have a multi-story car park out the back of this building. I know you would love to be sitting in reclining leather seats right now. And I know you would all want Costa coffee attached to the side of the room right here. There's room for improvement, for sure. But when I'm saying that we're the perfect church, I'm not basing it on our programs or the facilities we have. In honesty, I'm basing it on you guys. You see, I think this is the perfect church because you're in it. And I am so blessed to be part of a church that you're in. The more time I spend with you, the more I get to know each of you, the more I'm amazed by the gifting that is in this church, the people that make it up. It's incredible. And hopefully you feel similar to that. You would say, yeah, there were gifted people in this church. And if I put you on the spot and said, can you point out some giftings that you appreciate in this church? You would happily go, yeah, I love it. I love that person comes and Brian shares a word and Mary hosts. I love those things and I can see them. So hopefully you would agree with me. But if I then said, but what about your gifting? What would you respond with? Would you go, oh, no, we've got other gifted people, not me. Or would you recognize your own gifting in that? Would you see your own contribution that you bring? And that's what I want to talk about this morning and do. It's not point at you and make you answer that question. But what I want to do is talk about how I believe every single person here is so gifted and important to this church. And it's why I think it will really fit into what Brian was saying earlier. If you have a Bible, I'd love you to turn with me to Ephesians 4, where we're going to be this morning. Ephesians 4, and we're in verse 4. We're reading from 4 to 16. It's a bit of a long chunk, so bear with me. It reads as follows. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth. He who descended is the one who has also ascended far above all heaven, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it is built up, so that it builds itself up in love. You probably are familiar with those scriptures. Ephesians 4 is often talked about in new frontiers, regions beyond where we are. It's talked about quite a lot because we really value the gifts that it mentioned there. We see a really important role in what they play in the church. So hopefully you have heard sermons about that. And I'm not going to talk about them, which is good. So if you haven't heard about them, let me know and I can point you to very good sermons that explain those gifts and the benefits they bring. But I think those gifts, although they're lifted, those ministries listed out, I think that is not the focus of this passage. This passage to me is about everyone else. Or to put it another way, it's about you. I don't know if you noticed, but in verse 7, we read this. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. That's quite a staggering thought when you think about it, that grace was given to each one of us. That each one of us means you are all included and you don't get to put yourself in a different camp. Every single one of you was given a gift by grace, by Jesus. And that gift was handpicked for you. It was Jesus giving something that he knew that you would really work well with this gift. You'd be blessed by it. So he tailored the gift he was giving just to you. And if you aren't easily convinced by that, let me just throw some other scriptures at you. 1 Peter 4, let me just read that. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So as each has received a gift. Romans 12:5. So in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. So each person in this room, not just one or two, every single one of us has received a gift. So not just the pastor, not just the worship leader that likes to talk about Bilbo Baggins, every single person has a gift. And when you think about it, that's quite a really good way for church to work, right? So Mark's away today. If he is our only gift we're relying on, we're in trouble when Mark's not here. But actually, if every single one of us has a gift and one person isn't here, that's not really a problem because we've got a whole room of other gifts that we can rely on and draw from. And that's why you can end up going, well, actually, this is a pretty perfect church, because a room full of gifted people sounds pretty good, doesn't it? And I just want to pick up on what it said in that scripture, according to the grace given to each of us. I don't know if it's British culture, I don't know if it's mankind, but our default position when we talk about something that we have, a talent we have, is to go, well, A, either I don't have it, or B, if you're really insisting that scripture says I do have it, it's very, very small, and it's very well hidden. That's just, anyone in that camp, can I have a couple of nods? Yes, great, brilliant, you're all there. We're all there, probably. It says in that scripture, according to the grace given to each of us. If you know anything about Jesus, if you know anything about how gracious he is, does he ever give in small quantities? Does the cross ever show that God is stingy in the way he wants to forgive and pay atonement for our sins? Does the way he blesses you in your life ever come across as God is tight-fisted? Hopefully not, because God is lavish with grace. That's how he gives it. He just pours it in an abundance on anyone and everyone that will receive it. So when we talk about your gift is given by a measure of grace, it's pretty logical to think that's going to be an abundant gift that God's given you. He's not going to have gone at that point, I'm only giving you a tiny bit. He's going to have given you something really good. Because that's what our God is like, isn't it? So, we can conclude we all have a gift. It's a very good gift. God knows what he's doing when he gave it to us. And he wants us to use it. Now, you may be thinking, I have no idea what my gift is. That's absolutely fine. I want to just rewind to when I first joined City Church. And I'm going to share a bit about my journey as we go. When I first joined City Church, I was very happy with turning up to church each week, worshipping God and enjoying the church family I was part of. I saw that as pleasing God, to be honest. I was doing what he was asking, I was coming, I was trying to live a good life, and I was honoring him by just turning up each Sunday morning and contributing in the way I worshipped him with all my heart and things like that. If you ask me if I had a desire to use any gift or anything like that, I probably would have said to you, I am happy to do anything to help. However, I will not, under any circumstances, do any public speaking whatsoever, and I certainly will not go at the front of your church building during a meeting. That, for me, it was a no-no, a serious no-no. I would not do it. And so you're probably wondering why I'm here. As am I each time I'm here. What happened was, well, it was a progressive journey, but I'll start with the first time I had to do anything publicly in church. There was stood there doing my own thing in worship, minding my own business, and a man called Alan, who's part of our church, in front of us, turned around with his Bible and said, when I tell you, read this scripture out. And I'll throw in at this point, it was a scripture in Isaiah that I did not understand whatsoever. And the thing about Alan was he was suffering with Parkinson's. So immediately, that makes it quite awkward to say no to somebody, doesn't it? They've got a clear disability that means that they can't read a scripture out and they want to read it out to the congregation. Such was my fear of public speaking, I said no. Not only did I say no, I said no repeatedly to Alan and then suggested that there was an elder over there and he should go and ask the elder to read it out. Alan was insistent that I did it and eventually I looked at Sarah and was like, I can't believe this is happening. I'm being bullied by a man in church. So I read the scripture when Alan told me to. To my surprise, I did not die, although I felt very embarrassed at the time. I would love to tell you that at that moment, public speaking became a joy and a pleasure. I discovered my gifting and I ran with it. That didn't happen at all. In fact, to be honest, I probably went away and thought, never, I won't sit near Alan again, that's for sure. That's not happening. But time just passed, and that was that. And I'll continue my story later. But what I want to share with you of that moment is because I was there thinking, I have nothing more to contribute than coming and sitting and worshiping God, and surely God, that's okay. But God had other ideas. And you may be sat there thinking, I'm fine, I'm happy, we're just turning up to church each week and worshiping God, I enjoy doing that, surely God is pleased with me, and he is pleased with you, I should add. But God equally has so much more in plan for you. He has a gift in you that is buried deep, and you may not know it at all, but it's there, and he wants to use it for more than you can ask or imagine. Back to our passage in Ephesians. Why are we gifted? It's a good question. Why are we gifted? For our own personal enjoyment, show off, or something else? Verse 12. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So those ministries we mentioned and talked about earlier, their roles that I'm saying is very important but not the focus of this passage, their role is to equip you for the work of ministry so that you can build up the body of Christ. That's why the focus is on you. So your gift that you're given and the ministries that the church has, they're all about enabling you for a work of ministry that God has for you to do. And that work of ministry that God has for you to do will build up the body of Christ, so it will build up this church. When you operate in your gifting, this church is built up and encouraged. That's what will happen. That means if you're going to be built up by using your gifting, that when you come to church and you've had a tough week and your faith has taken some knocks, because that happens, you should step into a building full of a whole room of people that are going to build you up, because they're gifted to do so. They're gifted to lift you up and encourage you and carry you through hard times. And they're gifted like that, and you're gifted, you have that gift, because that is exactly Jesus's heart for his bride, for his church. He wants that every time that you feel like I'm falling down, I'm struggling, he wants to pick you up, he wants to build you up and encourage you. So he uses people, he uses you and me to go, no, I want to encourage that person, I want to reach out to them, they're struggling right now, and I've gifted this person over here that's special, and they're going to bring it and come and contribute. So whether it's Claire or Brian or anyone else that contributes, those things should build us up and encourage us, because that's what the gifting they have is there for. And that's exactly what it says in verse 16. Joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped when each part is working properly. So when every part is working properly, we're held together like joints. We're equipped to do what we should do. And the big question then is, okay, I've got a gift. I'm supposed to minister to the rest of the church. What is that gift? Have you wondered that question before? Every Christian has wondered that question. I don't know how long it is after you become a Christian that your mind turns to, okay, well what now? What does God actually want me to do? But every Christian wonders, what is my gift? See, it's pretty logical. If I have a gift in me, as deep as it may be buried, surely I need to know what it is if I'm going to be able to use it. You may have asked a church leader at some point in your life, what do you see my gifting being? You might have even taken a survey. You can do questionnaires and those type of things. You kind of rate what your passions are, and they attempt to give you a steer as to what your gifting is. That may work for you. I'm pretty sure if I did that, it would tell me I should be a worship leader. If you've ever sat by me in church, you'll know that that is absolutely impossible. I'm going to propose to you that you do not need to know what your gifting is to use it. That may sound strange and odd and backwards, but many things in the kingdom of God are strange, odd, and backwards, and I think this is one of them. And there's several reasons for saying that, and I won't go into all of them. But the main one is that if you know anyone that you think is particularly gifted, go up to them and tell them they're gifted in it, and they probably will tell you they're not. I've had this argument with people several times. Man, you are so gifted at encouraging people. It's brilliant. Thank you so much. No, I'm not gifted. That's just me. I get that's just you, but it's a gift from God and you're using it and it's amazing. No, you don't get it, John. I just like to do that. Okay, fine. Just carry on doing what you're doing. It doesn't matter whether you think it's a gift or not. And so it's such a natural part of us, our gifting. It's something that so fits so comfortably with us. It's an expression of who we are in some ways that often we have no idea that's our gifting. So you don't have to start with the starting point of, okay, once you tell me my gifting, I'll use it. God's got a different way of doing it, and he's put it within you, remember. That gifting is within you. So it doesn't need to be a case of, I'll go find it, because you've already got it. And God has a way of getting it out. So how I want to suggest to you, you go about discovering and using your gifting, is firstly, we have to start with faith. I really enjoyed what Claire shared earlier, talking about we need to lay hold of the truth of what God is saying over us, about how he loves us. The same applies to this, and Claire explained it really well. That actually, if you don't believe you have a gifting, if you won't take God at his word when he says, I've gifted every single one of you, then that activating agent of faith isn't present. And what you'll do is you'll become quite passive about your gifting. You'll step away, you'll step back, you'll be comfortable where you are. But as soon as you go, you know what, Jesus, I'm going to believe it's true. I'm going to believe you have given me something that I'm supposed to minister to the church. As soon as you do that, you start a journey with God. And it's a journey of discovering what that gift is. It's a journey of him working with you to figure it out. So regardless of whether you know what your gifting is or not, have faith that it's in you. That's the starting point. And when you have faith that it's in you, you'll begin a journey of saying, well, God, I better use it. Secondly, you need to know where to look. Running through a list of things that you are good at may sound like a good idea. But to be honest, I don't know that it is that good an idea. You see, you did not create your gifting. It didn't start with you having the idea that you should do something that you thought would be really cool, and therefore you're just going to have a crack at it and see if it works out. Your gifting started with Jesus. He planted it there. He's the one that's designed it perfectly for you. So it makes sense that your starting point for discovering your gifting must also be Jesus, not yourself. Not internal reflection, but seeking God. That's got to be the starting point. You see, the gift that God gave you, he hasn't given you and left you with no idea how to find it or use it. Remember the cross. It's all about bringing us back into relationship with God. This exciting gift that God has given us, he wants you to discover it in relationship. Those long walks along the beach I was talking about earlier, those are times of God discovering a gift in you. He doesn't want you to take it and run off and do something with it. He wants you to discover it with him. And that journey is a lifelong journey. It's one that you do in partnership with the Holy Spirit, day in, day out. Back to my story, after I've avoided Alan, and he's tried to kill me with embarrassment. Some time passed, months went by, and I'd be in the middle of worship in a meeting, and I'd feel God speak to me. You know, that's exciting when that happens. It thrilled me. And I'd write down what he was saying. I'd enjoy it. I'd go away and think about it. God's given me a word. I love it. Brilliant. I started to store down a kind of notepad of stuff that I felt God was saying to me. But I suddenly realized that, well, I eventually realized at some point that this wasn't really just for me. It was happening at times in meetings where I was like, kind of fits with where the meeting's going, and I thank God that you're giving this for the whole church, not just for me. And then I came to the struggle that, well, I hate public speaking, and the way to give this, you know, church leaders don't particularly appreciate it when you just run up and stick paper in their hand and run off and say, you do it. And I had this struggle of, well, what do I do? God's given me something and I don't want to share it. And to be honest, I battled with that for months on end. I can't tell you the countless times I would go home and I'd apologize to God because yet again, I had been too nervous and scared to contribute and give to and go publicly and share in the meeting. And I'd be like, God, I'm so sorry. I missed it. Will you give me another chance? I'll try and I'll do it better next time. And I got to the point where I honestly had to go, okay, Lord, either I'm going to obey you and follow what I feel that you're saying, or I'm going to give up and let this fear of public speaking win. So I went for it. And it was hard and it was horrible, I have to be honest. But God was with me. And it was a journey, and there was such a buzz and thrill of giving something that I felt God was saying to people. And little by little, the Holy Spirit walked with me and helped grow my confidence in doing it and made the fear become less until all that I really care about is hearing the Holy Spirit, because I really want to minister to the church that he loves and cares about. But you see, it was in the midst of relationship that God was working out that gift in me. The Holy Spirit was helping me journey in my gifting one small step at a time. And he'll do it for the rest of my life. There's no way I'm done. Holy Spirit, I need you every single day. And I'll discover more of my gifting every day I walk with him and I follow him. And the same is true of you. Your gifting will be worked out in relationship with God. That's where it will start. And you may go, I have absolutely no idea. And Jesus will say to you, absolutely fine. Just listen to me and I'll make it come to the surface in you. If every gift is about ministering to the body of Christ, if that's what it's about, is building us up, all of it is basically just Jesus's heart, isn't it? He loves this church so much. He loves his body so much. He wants to minister and show compassion. And there's a million and one different ways that we need that, and he wants to do that. And that's why there's such a spread of gifting. Every gifting is pretty much different. You don't get the same two stood side by side and go, they're identical, we're only one of you here. They contribute something different. I don't know if you've ever seen the crown jewels in Tower Bridge. Is that where they are? I really should have done my research first. I have been, but it was a long time ago. They're in London. They're in London. Go to London if you want to see them. But when I went and saw them, the thing that amazed me about them is that when you walk around it, the light just captures them in just an endless number of ways. It's not like, oh, I've seen it once and I walk off. It's like, oh my word, it's slightly different over here. And when I go to this side, wow, look at that. Just the way that the crystals, the diamonds, they all caught the light and just reflect. It was amazing. And the same is true of our gifting. That it's an expression of Jesus's heart. And he does that in such a varied way. It's endless. It really is endless. You can't just go, okay, well, I've got this gift and it's going to look like that. It's not going to happen. It's varied every single time. There's two people I'm going to pick on in the church to just talk about their gifting, to just try and explain some of this to you. Oh, brilliant, Jan's gone out. Jan was one of them, and I've not actually told her I'm going to pick on her, so it's good that she's not here. Andy is the other. Andy, are you still here? Yes, he's helping out back there. Good, he's not listening either. They're not going to be embarrassed. Brilliant. Jan often comes forwards and she contributes words. You have heard her say, I feel like God is saying this. Something prophetically she wants to bring to the meeting. I think she does that really well. Now, Jan could just end there and go, well, I've contributed. That's it. I've used my gift. It's gone. I've delivered. Thank you, Jesus. Done. I'll just sit down and be comfortable. But actually, if this gifting is something that is about relationship, and if Jesus is always speaking and always wanting to speak through Jan, it means that actually Jan may have a word in the public meeting, but you may be talking to Jan after the meeting, and she's listening to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says, I want you to say this to that person you're talking to. And Jan shares that, and then perhaps she goes home, and later in the week she's praying and she's listening to the Holy Spirit, and she feels like, actually, there's somebody I need to text, or there's my home group that I'm part of, and I just feel God wants to minister to them there. And Jan's gift, rather than just being a little snippet on a Sunday morning, she's constantly building up the body of Christ throughout her life. And when she does that, every time she does it, it's going to give her joy. She's going to love it because she's ministering Jesus to people. And that's how you should feel about your gift. You should love it because you're ministering to people. And that's why when we talk about gifting, I don't want you to think about church rotas. So many people in this church serve so faithfully on a church rota. Some of them on pretty much every single rota there is. But that is not your gifting. That doesn't define your gifting. And the reason that is because a rota is just on a Sunday morning. And your gifting is with you always. You might use your gifting in a rota that you sign up to on a Sunday morning. You might be able to utilize what God's given you there. But just being on a rota doesn't say, that's my gifting, I'm done. You are gifted with so much more than a church rota could ever draw out of you. It's something that God wants to constantly pull out of you. Second person I want to pick on is Andy. Andy Cook, I hope you all know him. Wonderful man, ever so helpful in this church. Last weekend, we had a flat battery on one of our cars at home. If you know anything about me, you'll know I'm pretty useless at DIY. Steve Creswell, are you with me? Thank you, brilliant. Forming a club. And so there was a question of, well, what do we do now? Sarah and I discussed it, and within seconds, we just said, let's call Andy. Let's call Andy. So I text Andy and said, Andy, this is my situation. Do you have jump leads or a battery recharger? I've heard those are the kind of things you need that I could borrow. Andy is away on his wedding anniversary weekend with his wife at this moment. The answer to me should have been, John, do not disturb me. I'm with my wife. Leave me alone. His response was, I'm away at the moment. I'm back this such time. Can you wait till then? Well, yes, I can wait till then, but don't worry about it. I'll pop around. I'll get them once you're back. It's fine. No, I'll come round and I'll fix this out as soon as we're back. And then he adds to it, I'll bring Miles as well so that he can join in. I love the fact that I was learning how to start a car at the same time as a five-year-old. That was brilliant. If you have a flat battery, I suggest you ask Miles how to do it, not me, because I think coming out of it, he's probably better equipped at it. I mention this because this is one of Andy's giftings. He has a gift of helps. It means for him, he leaps into action to help anyone, and he loves to do it. It might not be easy, it might cost him time and energy, but it's an expression of God in him that means that when he sees a need, he wants to reach out and fulfill it. And so Andy could just take that gift he's got and go, well, when the phone rings and someone texts, usually John, I'll leap into action. But that would limit his gift, because his gift actually is constantly with him. It's in relationship with Jesus. So what actually I'm sure Andy will find is that he's in conversation with somebody and they're not asking for help, but they're talking about a situation. And Andy goes, I'm going to help you, and this is how I'm going to help you. Because Jesus wants to step in at that moment and show practical help to a scenario. Or Andy may hear about something or be praying about something and he'll think, I can help that person. I'm going to go and do it. And because he's in relationship. And I draw out that gifting. I want to talk about that gifting because it doesn't involve a microphone. And that's important. Gifts don't have to involve microphones. And in fact, the majority don't. And those gifts are so valuable. How many of us need practical help? That's pretty much all of us. There's so many people in this church that are gifted in that way, that you're just in awe of the way that they will serve and give their time, and they seem to do it without much effort. Honestly, you come and ask me some of the things you're asking them to do, and I'd be like, you are really putting me out here, mate. Can we schedule this for a month's time? Because I don't have that gifting, and that's fine. We don't all have to have the same gifting. Those are just two examples, but can you imagine a church full of people that are listening to the Holy Spirit and moving in their gifting? Is that not an amazing church? And that is this church. I see that in all of you, that you have a gift, an amazing gift given by God that he wants to use. Thirdly and finally, you need encouragement. Encouragement to keep going and encouragement to step out. Part of that encouragement, I'm going to be honest with you, has to come from within and it has to come from the Holy Spirit. I say that because the Holy Spirit is an encourager. He is your number one fan and he's the one that will believe in you when nobody else does. He's put that gift there and he will encourage you every single step of the way. Keep going, you can do it. I'm with you, I'll help you. I'll show you how to lead your gifting. And I'll say partly it's on you because we read in Timothy, Paul encourages Timothy, Timothy, fan into flames the gift of God that's within you. You need to do it, Timothy. I can't do it for you. You need to believe it's there and you need to step out and use that gifting. So partly you need encouragement and partly that comes from yourself and the Holy Spirit, but also it comes from your brothers and sisters around you. The final part of my journey, I can't tell you the countless times I wanted to give up. I felt like, what am I doing? Honestly, I don't know if this stuff I'm sharing is from God or I'm just making it up. I sound ridiculous. I'm embarrassing myself. I will give up. There were times where I felt like that, and there was a guy called Steve Appel in the church. And Steve would come up to me and he would say, John, how are you doing? How are you doing your walk with God? Are you going for it? Do you know you're gifted? Are you going for it? Are you giving all you can? Because God's got so much in store for you. Are you keeping going? And it would just lift me, you know? Because we need people to say, there's a gift in you. Keep going. So when you see your brothers and sisters around you and you see an attribute of Christ in them, tell them. Because that's their gifting coming through. Tell them. They need to hear it. You blessed me so much in the way you heard the Holy Spirit and you responded in this way. Thank you so much. Please keep doing it. We need encouragement. This church is amazing already, but I can't comprehend how amazing it's going to be as we all step more and more into our gifts. It's going to be a journey. It's not just going to be a switch it on and it's done. We're all going to journey with it, but we do it together. We do it with Jesus. If you'd like to stand. So three things. Believe and have faith what God says about you, that you have a gift. It's in you. Regardless of how you feel or whether you know it, you have it. It's there. Secondly, know where to look. Look to Jesus. Look to your relationship with God because that is where God will bring it to the surface as you walk with him. And thirdly, be encouraged. Encourage yourself in the Holy Spirit. Listen to his encouragement that you're doing a great job. But also rely on the encouragement of your brothers and sisters around you to keep going. If you get it wrong, welcome to the club. We all get it wrong. But actually, you get to see Jesus at work in you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray. But what I want to do is give you time and space to respond to that. So please reflect on the gift that God's given you. And if you'd like prayer, I'd like to give you the opportunity to come out and receive prayer for your gifting. Because we want to help you draw it out. I've been there. I know how it feels. I know what it's like. But I'll tell you, God's got gold within you that he wants to draw out.